Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Marco Scholar began his career as an editing assistant and freelance editor before transitioning to directing in 1998. His breakthrough came in 2010 with Friendship, which attracted over 1.6 million viewers and became the most successful German cinema film of that year. Further box office hits followed, such as Eine ganz heiße Nummer or Frau Ella, for all of which he handled both directing and editing, winning multiple Bavarian Film Awards. In 2018, Marcus made his debut as a producer with 25 km/h and co-founded the production company Sunnyside Up Film together with screenwriter Oliver Ziegenbalg, realizing several film and series projects in the past few years. His latest, the film 23,000 Lives, based on the true story of the sea rescue NGO Jugendrettet, on which he once again served as director, editor and producer, will have its premiere in the summer of 2026. We talked to Marcus via video call for this interview. Marcus Goller, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Yeah, thank you. I'm very honored.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. You are quite close to premiering your new film, 23,000 Lives. But before we dive in, can you tell us a bit about your journey to becoming a director?
I started out as an editor. Actually, I was super lucky to get an internship right after I finished school at a very big, I would say, very known commercial film production called Filmhaus at Munich. I didn't know anything about film, and I stumbled in there in an internship, and the only thing that was available was the editing room. I was really lucky. I had great people around me, and within a year, I was allowed, and I was able to edit the commercials myself. And then I came into the phase that the digital editing came up, and we were one of the first ones to use Avid at the time. So I was spending most of my time in the editing room. A great base for me as a director, know about editing, to know what I might need, what to know how a sequence might be built up and works in the editing. But at one point, of course, you sit there and you do it for, I don't know, like 8 years or something. And then you meet a lot of directors and you think, how would I have done that? And, maybe I want to get out of this dark room, meet more people and work with more people than just, the directors or producers that came in. So I got a lot of opportunities to try it out. And I started out with a social commercial at the time, and then the other commercials that did, music videos and documentaries. And in 1999, yes, my mentor, Tom Zickler, my best friend Anatol Taubmann at the time, connected me with him. And he had this B-movie series, because in the GDR at the time, they made all these Heimatfilme. We thought he makes a series of revival of the B-movies. And he did that, four of them. We had no budget really, but it was a fantasy story. It was called Mask Under Mask, and it was sort of a musical, and Anatol was the lead. And for example, Christian Goldbeck, who worked as the production designer on this movie again, and who won an Academy Award, with All Quiet on the Western Front, he did his very, very first job on that one. So that was Mask Under Mask. So yeah, this is how I set out. It was fun. And then it took a while, actually. Tom Zickler told me his story about, how he got the first time out of the GDR into America, crossed the country with his best friend. And the stories were so incredible that I told him, Tom, you have to make a movie out of this. And then, so we developed a friendship. At the very end, actually, of our development, Ollie came in, my partner in crime now, the guy who writes, the author in our production company. I have a production company with him, Sunnyside Up. This is how we met. So yeah, friendship was then a big success, and this is how I got into directing.
How do you choose your stories, or how do you decide when to commit to a project?
I'm drawn to stories that sort of inspire or remember our true inner self. Who are we really? We play all these roles in our life, and we have to function, but there's an inner thing, and that is love, and the love for everybody. And I also believe that we are all connected. So I'm interested, and it sparks me when a story hits sort of this inner nerve, decrusts all the roles and everything, and digs into this little beautiful soul. for example, you know, One for the Road is a film about an alcoholic who is very lonely, and he has all these roles and parts, you know, that he acts out. But in, you know, at the bottom of his heart, he's a beautiful human being, and he connects with other beings. And this is, you know, what's inspiring in this story. So this is a universal approach. I try to find topics that in the end, everybody can relate on an emotional side. That's very important to me, that you connect emotionally to what's going on.
You've directed drama, comedy, and now a story based on real life events. How hard is it for you to keep a balance between the specificity of the story and a certain universality, as in trying to reach as many viewers as possible?
For me, it's always important that, you know, we develop a story so that most people can sort of attach to it.
Yeah.
And that it will be seen, not only because of a commercial success, but we make this movie, like I said before, to inspire, to sort of dig into your own beauty, I would say, and into your own light. And this is what drives me. That humanness that is inside of us gets sparked.
How did 23,000 Lives come to you? At what stage did you become involved?
Well, 23,000 Lives is based on the most beautiful documentary from Michele Cinque.
Mm-hmm.
This documentary is called Juventa. And Juventa is the name of the ship from Jugendrettet. He met the Jugendrettet team like 2 days before they went out for the first time.
Oh, okay.
He was in Malta, and I'm not quite sure about the circumstances, but he just asked, can I hop on, basically? Mm-hmm. And they were so suspicious and they didn't really know. But then they let him. And so he was on the first missions with his camera, and then followed the Jugendrettet guys. And later on, through the years, he did this beautiful documentary, Juventa. And Chris Zwickler,
mm-hmm.
He's from Flimmer, he saw that documentary on some festival and thought like, oh, wow, that's amazing. What a great story. What an inspiring story. And then he had a Netflix meeting, and he pitched a lot of things and wasn't very successful with it, mm-hmm. until the very end he sort of mentioned this documentary, and it would be great to maybe there would be a movie. And Sascha Bühler said, yeah, well, maybe there would be a movie. And and then, you know, they called Olli Ziegenbalg, my partner, whether he is interested to develop a script. And I was asked to, if I want to direct. So we made a co-production with Flimmer, and Ollie and me with Sunny Set Up developed and produced the film. Yeah.
As you mentioned, it's based on the story of the NGO Jugendrettet. Tell us a bit about the casting process.
The main goal here was to be very authentic. Besides the casting, we involved many of the real Juventa people, even while shooting. The casting process split up in two things. And first of all, of course, the actors. And the actors are all these characters that Olli wrote are sort of mixes from different people. Lukas is not only one guy. He's the one who started the thing, but then turns into, you know, like a lot of other people who actually drove Jugendrettet and the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to find these characters, and we did, you know, how you do it. We made a huge gathering, and everybody threw in ideas, and then do the casting. And then it's very interesting. Most of the time, you immediately know who.
Mm-hmm.
And Luis, he made the race because he was just amazing. And we were so lucky that he said, yes, it is a very challenging part. Not only the character and all the emotional issues, but also very physical.
Yeah.
With Luis, of course, you know, you set out a base, you need the main character.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were looking for the female lead, Kitty, his friend, and then came in Mala.
Yeah.
They had this amazing chemistry in the casting, and it was just like, I was like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. So she came in, and then Katharina came in, and Maria did a couple of movies with Freddy Lau.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called him. And he was super excited about it. Everybody was super excited about it. It's a movie that is really important and that inspires to be aware. So everybody wanted to be part of it. And
yeah.
That was the one casting process. So, you know, like we found all these beautiful actresses. I asked Corinna Hafu because I made a movie with her. She wants to hook up for a small part. She did. Uli Mattens, you know, then came in. Franca Potente, she was in 25 kilometers per hour. So she did a small part. It was just beautiful. But then, you know, for me, it's super important. The other casting process that was super important for us, authenticity-wise, is, of course, the people on the move. And we were looking for the real people on the move, with the people who actually came by boat, the people who had the experience. We were shooting in Malta, and we found a lot of people in Malta. Very sad, very happy, very sad stories. And of course, you know, they had to, and they, some came in from Italy. It was a huge casting process, like, you know, like Michele Cinque and my AD Fabian Götz. They did all of this. They selected the people. They did 150 interviews, I think even more. And so we found all these people. And then, you know, while we were shooting, trauma comes up again, you know, and we had a whole department to take care of everybody. This was the other casting process that was super important.
Yeah. Obviously, water is a notoriously fickle element to shoot with. How did you approach this, like in regards to lighting, framing, shooting locations? How was that whole process?
Well, you know, like you learn. So first of all, you sit down and you try to storyboard and find out, you know, what kind of sequences in the water do we really have?
Mm-hmm.
This is the first thing. And then you have to split it up into sequences that we can shoot with a boat on the water.
Mm-hmm.
In open sea. And then you find out you can't shoot everything in open sea with a boat. You try everything, but then, you know, security of course comes in. For example, when all the people on the move are on these boats and they have to step over to the Juventus or anything, so you need to shoot this in a secure environment. And therefore in Malta they have this spectacular but very old, they call it tank, and it's sort of a huge swimming pool that is black flooring and is only 2 meters deep, and you can make waves and you can make wind and you can make rain. And so, you know, our challenge was to build in our huge ship, the Junta, into that tank, and also have the ship for the open sea scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So the production design with Christian Goldbeck, we rented a ship from Holland. And they repainted everything made it like really look like the Juventus. It was like a ship casting process. And we found it something very similar to the real Juventus. And then they did this. It's really, it's the most amazing production design job in that direction that I've ever seen. Even the captain was standing on, you know, no, that was the other ship, because they had to do a replica for the scenes in the pool. So they built 3/4. We had to figure this out while we did the shooting list and everything, like how much of that ship do we need in the tank for all these scenes, because it was rebuilt on wood. That was really tremendous. So shooting in water, it was great. You're very slow, of course. All out on the open sea, suddenly wind changes, suddenly wave changes, suddenly you can't shoot him anymore because the waves are too high. We had to drive to the other side of Malta because, you know, the wind doesn't hit the waves too much, so you can shoot there. But then you have to always not have background, you know, land in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the ship while you're on it. While you have the scene, you have to turn the ship. Then the lighting is different because the sun suddenly comes from the other side. So it's a huge organizational and
coordination. Yeah, a lot of
coordination job. And then in the tank, it's all about, it's very slow because, you know, like to get people into a rubber boat, for example, that sits already, everything needs to be roped.
Mm-hmm.
You're divers in the water and everything is roped. They pull it from A to B. You don't do this with motor, but you pretend to. And until all these people are to be ready to shoot on a boat, it takes at least 1.5 hours. And then you have to shoot, and then it gets cold because it was not super hot at the time, and they get wet, and we had night scenes.
Oh wow, yeah.
It was great, actually.
Mm-hmm. Without obviously giving away too much, but can you tell us your favorite scene from the movie and maybe give our listeners a little bit of behind the scenes background?
Yes, of course. This is a good continuation to what I just said. So in the real story, or, you know, in April 2017, it was called the Easter Mission. They stopped picking up people from their boat. So the Italian government, the weather was really bad, and there were very, very, as many, many boats with lots of refugees on it in really strainy water. And it was sort of a nightmare mission for them, for everybody, actually, of course. But, you know, they made it and they saved so many people at that day, actually. So we have this sequence that we shot at night times in the tank, and we did a lot of waves and tried to redo these emotions and also the physicalness, or how do you call this? Try to really grasp the situation that everybody was in there. And I think that really turned out amazing. Yeah, that's my favorite scene.
And as you mentioned, obviously, this is an important film. What would you like the audience to take away from this film?
It's very inspiring. It raises awareness to look at the human side, where, you know, where we come from. The film was the longest time was called We Are One. And that is the spirit that we made the movie. And that is very important for me too, because, you know, I really believe that we are all connected. And when somebody is in pain, when somebody has trouble, the first thing is that I help, of course. This is what most people do, but not most people do. And, you know, we have this situation, and this is how the film starts out. You know, that we know a lot of people are dying there, and there's only one ship down there, and, you know, they can't cope with it. And this 18-year-old guy from, or a 19-year-old, he just finished school, raises a lot of people. And so, because, you know, we have to do something, needs to be done. It's a film that should inspire to open your eyes to the world and to be really aware of what's going on. And it's really in the end that it's absolutely possible. Just one action, one thought can change the world for so many other people and can actually change the world. The movie leaves you empowered, but mainly it's really to be inspired, and you will be inspired. That you evaluate your Wertetabelle, you know, look at what's important in our human connection, really. How do we want to be with each other? And for me, really, it is the one in the water is me, and the one on the boat is me too.
Yeah.
Because we are all connected. We are one. It's a natural thing to help each other.
Yeah, it should be. But yes. How long have you worked on 23,000 Lives now?
I think Ollie started the script in 2023.
Okay.
Chris came up in 2022, you know, like end of...
Four plus years.
4+ years, yeah. We shot in 24, we edited in 25, and now it's done. And
how are you usually when your projects, your films are finished? Is it easy for you to let them go, or are you having a hard time sort of leaving the characters and the world that you built behind?
It's both. Finish the movie, of course, because, you know, like you start something and you don't know whether this works.
Yeah.
Every movie, again, you know, is you start from scratch and you don't know where this leads you. You can only trust. Once it's done, it's, of course, a relief because I like it a lot. It's a relief that, you know, we made this and we were able to create this inspiring film. And it works. This is the first thing. And then it's easy to let them go because you're, first of all, you're relieved. And then, of course, you miss them because, you know, especially editing, I'm sitting there for 1 year. And there's Lucas. This is the main character. And there's Kitty, which is Mala. And there's all these other people. And, you know, of course, I know them inside out, these characters. Mm-hmm. Of course, I miss them. Of course, I miss them. But then, you know, like there's the beauty of making movies is, you know, they will last forever.
That is true.
Because the film is out and the film is always available and they are not gone.
And for the end, I have a few rapid fire questions for you. Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle?
We have a couple of stories, of course, we like to tackle, but there's none specific that I want to mention here.
Okay. So no big white whale story that is sort of your
Moby Dick. We can do that. Let's do the big white whale.
Lots of water. Just saying.
actually, we have something. We were trying to do the brand spa story.
Okay.
Ollie wrote a nice Bible. Okay. Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest misconception that you sort of encountered about the work of a director and possibly also editor from people outside of the industry?
That directors are rich.
Yes, well, I think people think the whole film industry just produces...
No, that of course was a joke. It's really difficult for me to say because I'm not from outside the film industry. It's such a great job. And you know why? I have the absolutely privileged, and I'm so grateful for it, to work with a lot of super, super cool and very creative people who know their craft. I just bring in, you know, like my feeling towards the things, and they sort of create it. And I have the possibility to look into all these crafts and to meet all of these people and to see all of these locations and in the world. And it's just a blessing.
You've been at this for a while. Has the work changed over the course of the years? And that can be obviously an external change or an internal one, as in how you approach the work.
I think what changed for me, it's always very exciting. Of course, you don't know where you're going. And I mean, you try to know where you're going, but it's always no man's land. Mm-hmm. But what I learned, and that's where I'm good at, is to trust my feelings and to trust intuition. So whatever happens, I try to feel it. It's a lot from emotion, and try to tackle my intuition. So to feel things also in the editing with the music, with the script, when we talk, there's a lot of great, you know, like talking with a lot of people about whatever you do at the moment and sort of discover, you know, what's in there is trust what I feel rather than what I think.
And finally, I know, obviously, you mentioned earlier, you're about to premiere or very soon premiere at 23,000 Lives. But can you share which project you are or maybe will be working on next? Has that been chosen?
Well, you know, Oli and me, we are working on a very German bestseller called 25 Letzte Sommer.
Oh, yeah. I know that work, yeah.
Stefan Schäfer, it's a book about awareness, and also working, Oli, on The Old King in His Exile from Arno Geiger. It's a film about dementia. And the beautiful connection of a son and a father.
Yeah.
It's sort of personal too. So these are two projects that we are working on, and there's lots of other things. Very exciting.
Oh, wow. A lot of great projects. Thank you so much for sitting down with us today, Marcus. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having the opportunity to speak out about this really important movie. I hope you want to watch it. It's out on Netflix in July.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.